大概性的我们大家历经上过特别电梯两档这个这个第一主要当东马西等到了呀我就别再开始结果是那蓝姆西的蓝姆姆姆的结果也是是是那一些的蓝姆姆的结果的是那今天其他的在于工农或者党部或者哪组的但第零级电上部托把贴了他这个年龄这些呢那他把他他们去进步国防的嘛他们的这个民族生比给工农的那什么大些第一的那个这个蓝姆姆的企业些的俺爹呀，俺那让俺几股买烟吧些，让那些，俺找个身边他们些，你电话电话的都还没得会几股的，电影咋的？让些身边他们些，俺爹，东岸的、浙江的，地基电波小身边的，俺那江面些什么的，电影呢，地基的电波的，俺那东岸、浙江的，俺你最近是在这种国好有的。你的积极因素，今年咱们三九国宝突破积极因素的突破，小什么积极？当然讲究升级的。那公路今年前年单，这三九国宝突破小什么？这三九国宝特别个赚到了，俺在搞的年年结果是呢，就是咱人不送礼啊，年年积极因素比个什么大大的啊，就可行。在多少地方去？今年这些呢，可行的去了。
Last week we started to look at new Lamrim text.Called the essence of refined gold. We spoke about that on the basis of this particular rebirth that we have attained, of not just as a human rebirth, but a precious human rebirth, we have this basis that we can use to achieve our innermost wish, and that is to achieve a state of lasting happiness, a state completely separated from suffering. And the way to do this.Is through the various practices that are described in detail in our text here, in this Lamrim text. And we also spoke last week about how the starting point is, before any activity, in particular now when we're looking at a new text, is to establish a motivation. So in general, when establishing a motivation, we start out by reminding ourselves of this, this preciousness, of this rebirth that we have. In other words, the preciousness,of the opportunity that we have attained in this life, and that if we don't use it to progress well towards the eventual attainment of liberation from suffering or even enlightenment itself, that would be inappropriate. That would be a great loss. So that is the first point in the generation of a motivation, to remind ourselves of our situation. Then the second is,Having generated this wish to utilize our opportunity well, we turn our attention to others, reminding ourselves that they are exactly the same as us in wanting to be free of pain and difficulties, the same as us in wanting to only experience states of lasting happiness. Moreover, I am only one person, whereas when we think of others,Others are innumerable across the realms of all the human beings and animals and unseen beings. Others are innumerable. And therefore, it's inappropriate to only strive for my own welfare. But I need to also ensure that I liberate every sentient being from suffering. When thinking about the suffering of others and their desired wish for happiness, we use this as a basis then to generate the minds of love and the minds of compassion to the point...where the love and compassion arises in us in a sense that is so powerful and dominates us so that we see it as our individual responsibility to free others from suffering and to lead them to a state of lasting happiness. So in this way we generate the minds of love and compassion and special intention, taking responsibility for the welfare of others and then committing to becoming the most skilled of guides, a Buddha.So at this point, we generate the mind of bodhicitta, committing to strive for enlightenment for the sake of others. And then the third point is, how does one fulfill this wish to attain enlightenment? So if we've generated a sincere wish to attain enlightenment for the sake of others, so what does one do to achieve that? One practices the various methods or techniques laid out here in the Lamrim.So those are the three divisions or the three parts of a motivation that we should regularly establish.
Mm-hmm. chebe masi jachimu shu sun yorde jisadan zu jik dundan ningbo tsui dhubay na ta jangshu lamrim chenpo sayade res jisadan nyema sangye chasan lamrim di nyamlin cheche lamji rinba di nyamlin cheche sangye bares an dada maungba sangye hen inaya lamji rinba di nyamlin cheche sangye ba mato di lamji rinba di nyamlin ma cheche sangye ayo ma res jisadan an dada nyamlin cheche shimba sangye shimba ki desuyine karinyamne chigor da nyamne chigor labna ne janchu lamji rimba de nyamne chigor es tizan dini da janchu lamji rimba de ta sangye tamje ne sangye sel sel salaya gopa thoye ge sangyo gopa thoye nyamne che to de da janchu lamji rimba tizan sangye tamje ne sangye ge lamga ne lamim tichi bure es gor da
In the many years that Buddha Shakyamuni blessed the world through presenting his teachings, he gave a vast array of teachings, really a huge number of teachings that he gave. These, though, this vast array of teachings that the Buddha gave, these have been eloquently condensed into the Lamrim tradition. And so what is found then in the Lamrim tradition is a condensed summary of the entire Buddha Dharma, the entire teachings that the Buddha gave. And these teachings then were the roadmap or the path that the Buddha himself practiced in order to attain enlightenment, in order to actually become a Buddha. And these were the practices cultivated not only by himself, but all beings who have become enlightened. And not only that, but all those who are currently progressing towards the attainment of enlightenment are practicing these self-same practices that are condensed in the Lamrim tradition. So this Tibetan word Lamrim is stages of the path, or to give it its fuller name, stages of the path to enlightenment. So this is the method. These are the stages of the mental paths to be developed to attain the goal of enlightenment. All past Buddhas have practiced in this way. All those who have already developed and are further developing these mental paths are practicing these same stages to attain their goal, enlightenment. And therefore, as practitioners who also have a wish for enlightenment, we too need to develop these same mental paths. So other than this path or this roadmap that's laid out in the Lamrim tradition, there is no other technique that can take one all the way to enlightenment.
Mahabana di nyamlin chine sanjie kukore Tata sanjie ke nyamlin chi Sanjie kubantue nyamlin chi kende ke di lamrim nyamlin chi kore si kore An dini chepayana da lamrim di Ani dini ki taa chimbo yagwin bi kung Yumchen yang daba kariyo re sa chi Kung zumba ro chi kung zumba Kung zumba la na Yumchen yang daba kariyo re sa chi Yagurwa kariyo re sa Ani Chiki mi da chidang namjun ni ngang zuki Dewa chubya ta Duma say Tondalia and Chu Shaken, Manguores, rather, Manguor Wada, Denigi, and Kuron Dinalia, Lam Shu in the Delia, Chapel to Papa Union, that were Cariores, Aja. On Denigi,
did it take a Tama Cari Union? Did it go?
Chapel to Papa. Then a lamb given by Shaken, Dewal, Duada, did you do that Tabo Togures, Shinim, Chiribi Tumba, that didn't remember Manguor, that's just Sungoro, that's just like Kuron, that Lamrim Delia and
What we heard last week, and I've just summarized here, is the importance that is placed on the Lamrim tradition. And it's always said that the Lamrim is the comprises the entire path that is to be cultivated by those who want to follow in the footsteps of all the past masters, of all those beings who have attained enlightenment, those who are currently developing themselves so as to become Buddhas as well, So us as practitioners who have the wish to also be counted amongst the children of the Buddhas, in other words, become bodhisattvas and eventually Buddhas too, we need to practice the stages of the path to enlightenment just like all those others have done too. So we've heard this said in this series of teachings, we've heard it in previous teachings, and the statement though that is often made needs to come from or be based on sound reasons. Because for the emphasis on the Lamrim teachings to be valid, it has to be based on sound reasons. Because all religious traditions present techniques for the development of happiness and the elimination of suffering. All religions do this, and non-religious philosophies present techniques to develop oneself spiritually, to develop and strengthen one's happiness and eliminate problems. So what then are the particular great qualities of the Lamrim tradition in terms of the source that it comes from? So what is the source for the statement that the Lamrim tradition presents the entire path to enlightenment, the stage of unsurpassed happiness, of perfected happiness, a state where no faults remain? So that is a question that should arise in one's mind. On the first page of the text, the fourth paragraph down, Lamrim is an especially profound aspect of Dharma, for it is a tradition of practice sound in origin. The sound in origin is what is being explicitly explained here. So in this verse and the following verse, this is what is being looked at, establishing the reasons why the Lamrim tradition comes from a sound origin and is a valid reason to rely on the set of teachings that are presented here. And so we've heard about the three goals that the Buddha Dharma leads one to, encourages one to strive for. In other words, the goals that one is required to have in order for a practice to be one of the Buddha Dharma. That is to attain a good rebirth of a human or a god, or to attain liberation from suffering, or the attainment of enlightenment. So Lamrim is the basis of practice for the attainment of these three goals.
Chasanwa yuena digiwa mare, mana wa chukukure, chasanwa yuena
Reading further, it is neither fault nor shortcoming, for it is a complete practice perfectly uniting both method and wisdom aspects of the path. So this is an important point, because if a particular presentation designed, that particular presentation which is given motivated to eliminate suffering and achieve happiness, if it is incomplete, then one's development, one's spiritual development, is of course going to be limited. One will not be able to eliminate suffering. One will not be able to therefore achieve uninterrupted, lasting happiness. So this could be likened to if someone doesn't have their complete physical limbs, then this will serve as an impediment to them in their lives. So similarly, a spiritual path needs to be complete, otherwise one cannot achieve one's final destination. And similarly, if the presentation contains errors, or the presentation isn't in the correct sequence of practice, then even if the practitioner diligently applies what they are being trained in, they will be making mistakes. They will be, and moreover, they may be practicing in a mistaken sequence, an incorrect sequence, and these two elements will also prevent one from fully spiritually developing. So therefore, the path of spiritual progression, the Lam Rim, it needs to be both complete and unmistaken. And that's what this presentation is. If you're discussing the Dharma with friends, whether they are Buddhist friends or not Buddhist friends, and you are presenting something that you've heard or you've read, and you're saying, oh, I heard this in a teaching or I read this in a book, and this Lama said this and that, and the person asks, so why is this correct? Why is this a good reason, a valid reason? And then you're left not actually with anything to reply, then this shows a grave mistake, or a grave mistake in one's understanding. So in this instance, one is presenting a particular practice that you've come across, but are not able to give good reasons to back it up, but are merely saying, oh, I've heard this from someone perhaps with a great reputation, or I read it in a very inspiring book, then one's source cannot be, the source that one is quoting cannot be used as a valid reason. One requires a genuine source and a valid reason in order to be able to not just back up one's assertion, but to use that as a basis to dispel one's own misunderstandings and one's own doubts.
Yahoo, ニャムシピニャムメズヘミリペマゼケバチムチュアレスチザンケバチムコロンギコロンゴセバレスラデアンコケバチノコセバエザダノリアマレスキムゼンティゴウォルダコケバチムギムザカレランコニャマロンマンビリンリアメギクトネニャムシプシュチェジェメギコニャムシプチェジェディネコロンマンビコロンギニャムシチェニャムヨサージェディネゴセバレスチザディナズウォルディネソラディネトゥングラデュテンアンズギチャサンギ ね、免疫でや、一切免疫必須だやら、社産別事業は、別事業はね、別事業はね、ね、あとなぜ大変な社産者とか、実は、空中も別路地、免疫もそんな感じで、空中で免疫やこれ、の、の、自分まで、やこれ、やこれ、やこれ、やこれ、やこれ、やこれ、やこれ、やこれ、やこれ、やこれ、やこれ、やこれ、やこれ、やこれ、やこれ、やこれ、やこれ、やこれ、やこれ、やこれ、やこれ、やこれ、やこれ、やこれ、やこれ、やこれ、やこれ、やこれ、やこれ、やこれ、やこれ、やこれ、やこれ、やこれ、やこれ、やこれ、やこれ、やこれ、やこれ、やこれ、やこれ、やこれ、やこれ、やこれ、やこれ、やこれ、やこれ、やこれ、やこれ、やこれ、やこれ、やこれ、やこれ、やこれ、やこれ、やこれ、やこれ、や
this point that we're making here, this is something that is that you do apply in one's everyday life already. For example, if a friend knows that you're ill and they recommend some medication to you, and they offer this medication to you, you'll ask several questions. You'll ask them, well, first of all, you'll probably look at the packaging. You'll ask where they got it from. Maybe you'll look at the brand to see if you've heard from it, heard of this company. And if you have a few doubts, you may look on the internet to see what research has gone into the development of this medication. And if you're looking at the packaging and it looks a little bit suspect, you ask where it was bought from and the answer is not so reliable, maybe just someone on the street, and you look on the internet to see what research has been done, and it seems more anecdotal rather than a research based on knowledge and experience, then maybe you're not going to take this because you know you're taking a little bit of a chance. On the other hand, if it's recommended to you by someone that you know has knowledge and experience and is a trustworthy source, and you buy or you fulfill the prescription at a reliable pharmacy, and you know that you can see from the packaging and the company that made it that this is probably something that one can consume with confidence, then one will do so. And that is because one has trust based on the source from which the recommendation came, as well as who made the medicine. And therefore, you know that the source is based on knowledge and experience, and there is this degree of authenticity. And that then is a valid basis for trust.
Lamji Rimba Tini, Yandabo Sobe Sanje, Ne, Sung, and Ludu Tome Nile, Rimjin de Gibe, and Kung Zemba Yishins. Take Gimze Yandaba Yimikimze Gare Labna, Chesna, D Gimze Yandaba de Re, Lamji Rimba de Kawachi Morris, Savigi, Sanje Jemden is Suarez, Sanje Jemden Dingi Dona Sunshaw Gerich, Chesna, Sanje Jemden de Korongi, Garson Yamalia.
This sound in origin, this sound origin is the reason for that is then presented in the rest of the verse. It provides all levels and grades of the techniques passed through Nagarjuna and the Sangha, from the practices meant for beginners up to and including the final practice before full Buddhahood, the stage of non-practice. So the source, or the sound origin of the Lamarum teachings is Buddha Shakyamuni himself. And why is Buddha Shakyamuni presented as a valid basis for these teachings? Because he taught from his knowledge and experience. He wasn't teaching based just on what he had studied or he had heard from people that he considered to be reliable, but he also taught from his own experience. For many years he went through great difficulties, eliminating sequentially all the faults in his mind, developing all his mental good qualities, to the point where all inner faults were completely eliminated without leaving not a trace. And all inner good qualities were developed to the point of perfection. And that's where enlightenment is attained. So based on this experience of achieving this perfected state, he presented the Buddha Dharma. And therefore, this is seen as a valid or a genuine and authentic source.
And
You may even hear this and think, well, that's all good and true. I'm sure the Buddha achieved something amazing and fantastic. But this was 2,600 years ago. And that's a sizable span of time. Is what he taught then from his experience in the ancient forests of India, is that still applicable to me in this modern time? So such a doubt may well arise. Whilst the Buddha did live in this world a very, very long time ago, his teachings were presented to a broad audience, and they continued to be taught to further generations, and not just taught in theory, but were put into practice by those who received the teachings directly from the Buddha, and then to their students, whom they taught the teachings to. Each respective generation heard the teachings, studied the teachings, and meditated on the teachings, and thereby attained similar results. And this progression of the lineage continued through great lamas such as Arusisihya, Nagarjuna, and Asanga, who studied the teachings of the Buddha, practiced them, and attained similar results. And then in later generations, Lama Atisha took those two lineages of teachings, and when he traveled to Tibet, he presented both of them. And he presented these two lineages in Tibet, establishing the Lamrim tradition as we have today. And many great teachers within Tibet received these teachings, studied them, put them into practice, and others gained realizations of them, and achieved similar results and taught these to the next generation. And this permeated all the various Tibetan traditions. And if we think of the particular case here of the Gelug school, then this lineage has continued from unbroken from Lama Tisha to Lama Tsongkhapa, and then through to a long succession of accomplished masters down to our own teachers in the present day. So due to this unbroken lineage, we now can be confident that we're still receiving the authentic teachings of the Buddha. Looking at the first sentence in the fifth paragraph, this graduated Dharma of taintless origin is like the wish-fulfilling gem, for through it, infinite beings can easily and quickly accomplish their purposes. So this then, this line presents the extraordinary qualities of this taintless origin, which is the Dharma. So this is what we've been speaking about thus far. So in the preceding paragraph, we looked at the sounding origin. Here it's translated as taintless origin. And that then is the Buddha Dharma, the teachings based on the knowledge and experience of the Buddha. And here it's likened to a wish-fulfilling gem, or a wish-fulfilling jewel that is able to fulfill all the hopes and desires of whoever holds it. So the wish-fulfilling jewel here is this very text, this very Lamrim tradition. And it can fulfill all the purposes or all the wishes and dreams of sentient beings. And in our context here, what is the desire or the wishes or the dreams of sentient beings? This refers to our innermost wish to experience only happiness and not to have this happiness ever interrupted by a moment of difficulty or problems at all. So practicing the Lamrim, developing these realizations in our mind, this will lead to attaining a state of lasting happiness and elimination of all suffering. In other words, the fulfillment of our innermost wishes. And where it says here, can easily and quickly be accomplished, this makes reference to the pace of our progression. This is in our hands. The more effort and the more joyous perseverance that we apply, the quicker our progress. And in this way, we'll easily be able to achieve our long-held wish of experiencing lasting happiness.
Malubas, 제가 되게 말을 봐지 되게든 지금도 맞으면 말을 봐라요 말해 제가 말을 봐라도 되게든 망고 예배 따래 제가 전화 가려고 말을 봐 두두래라도 되지 나도 장주 람리 람기 림바디 현대의 숨비게 람기 림바를 잡아도 파바이나로 와 현대 제가 현대의 숨비게 람리 나려 냠는 제바이나 아니 제와지 말하 남이 고마 톱톱 용그레스 아니 양아 지금 원시에다 아니 주주라 소바 톱톱 용그레스 Nikiwa Yalhadan Sudan Sumeria, Kituyagi, and then Niba Kitua Yungres. Yinaya, Denegi, Tarba, Sanji Koba, Totia said, Yomares. Ta Lamrim Lamrim Dianzu, that Shagi Lassanji Jumde, Dinma, Yuji, because Lamy Rimba, the Yamlin Jeba Ina, Din Yamlin Jeba, and Kiwa Chima, Hadan Yugoba, Top Tukure, and the Dila Lava, Tarbi Gopa, Top Tukure. And Suda Sumitoya, the Union Bache, and Demasi, San Diego on Totu, Chesa, Anzolia Miluk, David Garasana, and the Digiquare, Digiduvial, Tada Muko on Topi Digiduvia, Chick David, Dile Laga, and Dingi Dava, Tobia, the Dumazawane, Bambi, Tarbego on Tobia, and Dile Lava, that Jimmy Bachana Cheba Bange, and the Malibo Yunsu, San Diego on Tobia. デビューで、本地車上だ。ああ、自分で、さんゆ準備でにま、ゆし送せびけ。ラムリバで、ニャムスレンバイで、地車上飛びやけ、飛ぶぐれです。飛びや。飛ぶぐれです。じゃあ、ラム、シャンダーが送せびてな、電バイなね、でにぎ、さんじこばな、たばせ飛ぶまれ。ただ、ミュゴバ飛やだ。でにでもよぐれです。
We don't have the word here in English, but we can add one word here. So in the same sentence, through it, infinite beings can easily and quickly accomplish their complete purposes. And this word complete has some specific meaning. And that is that, so we have our wish for happiness, but if it's not completely fulfilled, then there's of course more still to be done. But the practices that are presented here in the Lamrim, or in the graduated stages towards enlightenment, these can lead to the complete fulfillment of our wishes. In other words, the complete the attainment of complete happiness. So other systems that teach how to develop a greater happiness and to eliminate problems and difficulties. Whilst these can lead to greater happiness in this life and perhaps in future lives, they cannot lead to a result beyond that. Whereas the practices that are presented in the Lamrim tradition, these lead to complete happiness or the complete fulfillment of one's wishes. In other words, happiness that is complete, happiness that is never interrupted by suffering. So this means that the practices here lead not just to the happiness of a good rebirth, say as a human or a god, but lead to the happiness of liberation from cyclic existence, from samsara. And if one is liberated from samsara, one is liberated from suffering. If one is liberated from suffering, one only experiences happiness. So that lasting state of happiness can be achieved through the practices of liberation, through the practices of the Lamrim. But moreover, not only can they lead to that, but they can lead to a state beyond that, a state where even the stains of the seeds of negative imprints on our continuum are completely eliminated. In other words, where one attains the state of enlightenment, the greatest form of happiness. So these greatest forms of happiness, liberation and enlightenment, they can be achieved through the practices of the Lamrim. They cannot be achieved through techniques that are different from this.
Rimbuchi, Yakshu, the Rimbuchi, Yakshu, 동화세야든지
And we also have here the term wish-fulfilling gem. So the particular term that's used here is a less common word for wish-fulfilling gem. Literally, it means, this particular word literally means the most precious of powerful kings. So what is being referred to here as the most precious of powerful kings? That is the practices that are found within the stages of the path to enlightenment, in other words, within the Lamrim tradition. And the reason they are referred to here as the most precious of powerful kings is there are many different religious or philosophical traditions present techniques to develop happiness and to eliminate suffering. But amongst these different techniques, what is found in the Lamrim, this is the most precious in that it can lead to the state of enlightenment. Can also lead to the state of liberation, and it can lead to the temporary happiness of good rebirths. But these, being able to lead to these three goals of good rebirth, of liberation, or enlightenment, this makes the illustrates the extraordinary quality of the Lamrim tradition, and therefore it is likened to the wish-fulfilling jewel, or more literally, the most precious of powerful kings.
You know that. That chan san yu jum nene ne ma sun shi lam yi ba de yak shu re la yu du ya da ya mi na lo nga du mi liya ji ke nam do dha ma ra yung si giru wa o da di koron nam ba yin za ya koron te yak shu re sin ya ji chu lu da di ni ki shen guo chen di shi yin si ra sam sam yung si giru wa
At this point, maybe further doubts are arising. So you may think that, yeah, well, you're a Buddhist, of course you're going to think that Buddhism is best. And you're going to say, yeah, others are fine too, but we really are number ones. So that you may well think that have such a valid
doubt.
The reason for saying that the Buddha Dharma is the very, very best because it leads to these goals is not a statement that's made from a mind of bias or a mind of partiality. Rather, it's based on sound reasoning. So it's not a mind that's looking, it's not an opinion that is based on looking down at other religions or other philosophical traditions, in that other religions and philosophical traditions have many good qualities to them. But moreover, the specific reasons why Buddhism is presented, in particular the Buddhism that is presented in detail in the Lamrim tradition, is presented as being unique in that it leads to liberation and enlightenment, can be presented with two branches. So the first one would be to do with we can call method or technique. So this comes down to the recognition that us each as individuals share the same innermost wish, and that is to experience only happiness. None of us take delight in problems and difficulties. We all want to be freed of these. And as we come to see the subtler levels that we experience problems on, we want to be freed of those as well. So we all want to experience only happiness. And this is a view that I as an individual don't uniquely hold, or us as a group don't uniquely hold, or us as Buddhists in general don't uniquely hold. Each and every human being holds a sincere wish. Each and every animal, each and every living being holds the wish to only be experience happiness and not a moment of suffering. With this recognition, one can develop this further through reflecting that this is a wish shared by all. If I compare myself to others, I am only one, but all others are incomparable in multitude. If I were to attain happiness for myself, but others were to be left suffering, how could I say that's suitable? How could I even say that was happiness when others were still suffering? So therefore, the liberation from suffering of all beings is my personal responsibility. And to fulfill that responsibility, to develop it to a point where this mere wish can actually have an impact on the happiness and suffering of others, I need to become a Buddha. I need to strive for enlightenment so that I can become a Buddha for the sake of others. And this stream of thinking here is what one engages in to develop the mind of bodhicitta, or the mind of enlightenment, the mind committing to strive for enlightenment. And this is something unique to the Buddha Dharma. So that can be called method. And the second branch is that of view. And the view is also something unique within the Buddha Dharma. And that is where one looks at what is the cause of suffering. One sees that all suffering, or all problems, all difficulties come from karma that we ourselves have accumulated through afflicted minds. And at the very root of these afflicted minds is the ignorance of self-grasping. Having that knowledge, we then know that it's through abandoning this ignorance of self-grasping that we can become freed of suffering. How to do so? We need to develop the antidotal mind, the contrary mind, the wisdom realizing emptiness, or the wisdom realizing selflessness. And then, so this knowledge, this understanding, as well as the technique in how to develop the wisdom realizing emptiness, this is uniquely found in the Buddha Dharma. So for these two reasons, that of bodhicitta, or in English, the mind of enlightenment, and secondly, that of view, how to develop the wisdom realizing emptiness, or the wisdom understanding reality, these are unique to the Buddha Dharma. So it's for this reason that the Buddha Dharma is solely able to lead to a state liberated from cyclic existence or samsara, lead to the state of enlightenment. And it's for this reason that the Buddha Dharma is presented as supreme.
The Lurup Nathome Nis Lawa, Jim Shandas Lana, that Kevamanguor, Jimmy Lurup Nathome Nima, Jubas Lago Mindua, the Kareas and Begaya, Manzuge,
Just to look back at the previous verse where it was referred to Nagarjuna and the Sangha. So these were two great masters from ancient India. But one may wonder, so why are they specifically being pointed to here? There are many other great masters even before them, such as many foe destroyers. But why are these two specifically being indicated?
Sanje chumden de nyangal le de chan ne lo shipyal jel ya chu yo le tene phaba thome se de sanje chumden de nyangal le de chan ne lo gupje ro de ane sanje phaba thome se chu ro wa se san
sanje lo getu gutu gutu
ha ga se lo gupje gupje
gupje
phaba thome chu ya de lo gupje de gombulur chu ya de lo shipye de se san sanje sanje khoron she chu bi kala khaba pa thome ba yo re anda Dini Sanji Dinma, Sanji Shinu Pes Hanet, Loship Jello Gomulusion, and he said, I'm Gomulus, the Tomeni Lagway, you can take Arian Ars and begin some United Dimuru at Dogwaruch.
Oh, the Dogway, you call it Comaso.
Dogwa Tomeni, that Dinma Tomeni, Lurubi, you soon water, Pidi Lagway, you can send Dogwali, Sanji Jumden, they said him. Shinu Pes Hanet, the two cheese Jungu, the Sanji Jumden, she should be like Kaba Manguora. Jesus, then my son loved me to ask him. Jimalo, I just told me, not Lurby soon love with him, Zacharias, Zachi Lungua. Jesus, I told me, said he, San Yujim, the Shinley person, Logubjil, Chas and Dinish in the Jumar, eh? Lurup said he, and San Yujim, the Shinley person, Loshibjil and the Dinny Jumar, Dinia, Kaba Mangura, and Jesus, then my son loved me to ask. Lurup, not told me, soon love with him, Zacharias, and the Holy Dua.
Maybe to flesh out the doubt that you possibly are having, is that you think to yourself, hang on, as I've read, Nagarjuna came about, arose in the world 400 years after the Buddha. So certainly there would have been many other great realized beings between when the Buddha lived in the world and Nagarjuna came to the world. It was a 400-year expanse of time. So there would have been many other beings studying and realizing and teaching the Buddha Dharma. And then from in the expanse of time from when the Buddha was in the world to when a Sangha came into the world, that was about 900 years. So other than Nagarjuna in that intervening period, for sure there would have been many other great beings. So why are these two being singled out?
Daddy did Tommy and Ludness Moon Lagway Gimsenjo Carriers and Daddy there. Sanjo Jumden Digi, Chiosune, Tepa Timbigi, Chidigi, the Chidan, go soon the Tepa Timbichi, the Mong Sunyadi, and the Sanskrit Nansun, Dian and the Yongra Masumache, and the me, Lietawa, and the Mother Jion Tanemasuma Chatu, Tabachim Shady.
I am Kirkotam Sangona.
Tabachim Shady said, Sunyagi, Sunyagi, CD, and a Sanskrit kit and Tama may be cheated Pali for the song. Tisa Tabam may be cheated Pali Tone, Yongra Rusi. Then Tabachim be cheated Yongra Mayimbachi, and Janshu Sembada, the nigger, Topo, the nigger Totu Yanaya, Sunshiki Yongra Membachi. Tisa Dine Sunjavanta, and the Sanji Jumden de Nyanga Le Dene. When
the Buddha taught, he presented both Tivadana Dharma and the Mahayana Dharma. And the Tivadana Dharma was presented and preserved in the Pali language, and the Mahayana Dharma was presented and preserved in Sanskrit. And after the Buddha's passing, then the Pali tradition or the Tivadana tradition first flourished in the world and became really vastly disseminated. Whereas after the Buddha's passing, the Mahayana Dharma or the Sanskrit tradition, this became quite hidden and practiced in a hidden way, to the extent where you could say that it was almost had become unknown in the world. So these two traditions were in very different states. The one, the Pali tradition, was vastly disseminated, whereas the Sanskrit tradition of the Mahayana Dharma, this was in such as was practiced secretly, and you could be said to be unknown in the world. Buddha Shakyamuni, through his omniscience, he was aware about the how the Mahayana Dharma would decline after his passing. So aware of this, before he died, he gave a prophecy, which is recorded in his teachings, recorded in the sutras, that first of all the Mahayana Dharma would decline, and that 400 years later, a man called Nagarjuna would appear in this world, and he would proliferate the Mahayana Dharma once again, and it's almost as if he were to bring it back into the world. And then 500 years or so later, in other words 900 years after the passing of the Buddha, then a Sangha would appear in the world, and he too would serve to proliferate the Mahayana Dharma. And then moreover, Arya Nagarjuna, he presented in particular, in terms of the differing philosophical presentations of the Buddha Dharma, he presented or clarified the view of the middle way. And that of, and then a Sangha presented the view or emphasized the view of the mind-only school. So each of these great practitioners not only proliferated the Mahayana Dharma, but they also, brought to life again the view of the middle way and the view of the mind-only school. And these two masters, they also studied with extraordinary beings. So Manjushri taught Nagarjuna. And Nagarjuna, again, was the one who brought about, not only spread the Mahayana Dharma, but also the view of the middle way school. And then a Sangha, he was taught by Maitreya, and the Sangha again was the one who not only proliferated the Mahayana Dhamma, but also the mind-only view. So it's because of these two pivotal masters in the lineage of the Mahayana Dhamma that we have the Mahayana Dhamma still flourishing in the world today. And the lineage we now can clearly trace back from them to the present day. So these are the reason why these two masters, who are our lineage masters, are specifically referenced here in this text. And looking again at the last paragraph on this page, combining the rivers of the excellent teachings of both the Theravada vehicle and Mahayana vehicle scriptures, it is like a mighty ocean. So here the Lamrim, or the stages to the path of enlightenment, are likened to a mighty ocean. The mighty ocean, we know, is never exhausted. It's continuously replenished by its great rivers. And here the great rivers are the Theravada Dhamma as well as the Mahayana Dhamma. And why then is this referred to this great ocean? It's because this great ocean that contains the two mighty rivers of the Theravada Dhamma and the Mahayana Dhamma, through practicing what is contained here, whatever one's spiritual goal is, can be attained. So if one has generated a fear for the sufferings of the lower realms and desperately wants to ensure that one attains a good rebirth in one's very next life, the practices are here. If one has come to an understanding of how suffering pervades every rebirth in cyclic existence, and if one understands that as long as one remains bound within the prison that is samsara, one will never know a moment of true peace, let alone lasting peace, then one will have the wish to strive for liberation from suffering. And those practices are found here. And if one has taken that understanding and seen that it applies to all other beings, and one hasn't just left that as something theoretical, but has given rise to overpowering love and compassion for others, wanting them to experience the happiness that is separated from suffering completely, then all the practices to attain the state of a Buddha are also found here in the Lamrim. So whilst these entire teachings of the Buddha, all those sutras, have been abridged into the Lamrim tradition, these abridged teachings are still complete in that they contain all the practices that are required to attain any of these spiritual goals. So therefore, the Lamrim, whilst abridged, is complete.
Tarpa 타바토에 산지고마 토이지 님네 제베나 군노 딜라심제 탐지르 산지고바 토발 지인스 제주심 유군내라제 님네 제디 디죽티 님네 제디 산한테기 님네 제디 디죽레제나 람림 나라 차산 뉴제 송샤여레 세디 님네 제디 아주 딜레 당한 삼다제
So what we've been hearing here then is that the lamrim or the stages for the path to enlightenment encompasses all the practices that a practitioner needs to engage in order to achieve one of the spiritual goals, the goals of a good rebirth or liberation or enlightenment. So everything is contained here within this lamrim tradition. So then if you need to want to be specific, because we're just talking here in a general way, from a perspective of an overview, so to be specific now in the closing minutes of this talk, what should one be practicing? Well, in reality, we probably aren't going to attain liberation from cyclic existence in this very life or enlightenment in this very life, which means we will need to continue our spiritual progression in our future lives. So when that is the case, just like in a worldly context, if one has a great goal, then one sets out the various stages that one needs to reach, various intermediate goals, in order to eventually achieve a final goal. So this is the same in terms of our inner development, our spiritual development. We need to plan beyond this one mere life and ensure that we continue to have the required conditions in our future lives. But in order to achieve those required conditions, then we have to create those causes. So if we think of the various beings that we can observe, so we have some familiarity with ourselves and those around us, but we can think of people in very unfortunate circumstances that we perhaps know, we see on television news, or we maybe know people who are in very unfortunate circumstances. Or if we think of beings who in this life are in the animal realms, they have serious impediments to spiritual progression. And in fact, if they're born as an animal, it's impossible to engage in spiritual development. They don't have the intelligence. And not only are their lives dominated by stupidity, but also by tremendous fear. Because animals suffer this fear of constantly being under threat of being caught by a larger animal and eaten alive. So animals have no capacity for spiritual development. And so therefore, to continue our spiritual progression, we need a good human rebirth. Not just any rebirth, because we are aware some human rebirths are also experience really overwhelming problems and difficulties. So one needs a rebirth that is good like the one we have now, where we have physical and mental capacity, we have comfortable circumstances, or at least adequate circumstances, and we can engage in spiritual development. So to ensure that we achieve at least as good conditions that we have in this life, in our future lives, we have to create those causes. If we don't create the causes, we cannot expect to experience the result. So what are these causes that we need to create? So the first and the most important is we need to engage in ethical behavior or ethical conduct. And this, in brief, means to develop a mind of restraint. A mind that turns away from harmful physical or verbal behavior, a mind of restraint. So this is the foundational practice, because that is what leads to a rebirth that creates the causes that lead to a rebirth in a happier migration as a human or a god. But so as to ensure that future rebirths, even if they are in a good state, like as a human, but that one has good conducive circumstances to engage in spiritual development, one needs to have adequate, at least adequate material resources. And the causes that we need to cultivate to ensure that comes about is to practice generosity, which in brief means to develop a mind wanting to give. And that is the cause. Developing this mind wanting to give is a cause to ensure that we have comfortable or adequate circumstances in our future lives. Moreover, through developing the mind of patience, which is in brief a mind that is undisturbed in the face of adversity, as we develop this mind, it creates the causes that in our future lives we are physically healthy, that our sense faculties, our sight, our sound, etc., these are complete, are not faulty, and therefore enabling us to engage in spiritual development, to hear teachings, understand teachings, and be able to engage in meditation. So these three practices are essential. And for them to have great power, we need to develop the practice or the mind of joyous perseverance, a mind that takes delight in virtue. And this ensures that in our future lives, we will seek out a virtuous path. We'll seek out the Buddha Dharma and a spiritual friend and want to engage in spiritual development with delight and with vigor. So that is the fourth practice, that of joyous perseverance. And moreover, if one wants to ensure that in our future lives our minds aren't so distracted, our meditation is more effective, we need to develop causes in what remains of this life to have such a result. And that means we need to try and develop a more concentrated mind so that in our future lives our mind is less distracted. That's the fifth, and then the sixth would be to cultivate a mind of wisdom. So amongst these, to ensure that we have good rebirths in our future lives, there are four that need to be practiced. That of a mind of restraint or ethics, a mind wanting to give, that of generosity, a mind that is still in the face of adversity, that of patience, the mind that delights in virtue, joyous perseverance. These are the four that we need to ensure that we cultivate with us in meditation in this life. And as optionals, one can develop concentration and wisdom. And if one has a further goal, those sitting here want to attain more than just a good rebirth, but actually want to be free of suffering entirely, or want to become a Buddha for the sake of others, those same four practices also need to be engaged in. So that doesn't differ. But moreover, one also needs to engage in the practice of concentration and the development of wisdom. Then, if your goal is enlightenment or liberation, then those six practices have to be engaged in. So it's not these practices that actually that differ depending on the wish of an individual being. The practices are similar, the same first four, and possibly the second two as well, making six. But what differs between individuals is the motivation. If one has a motivation just for a good rebirth, to ensure one doesn't fall into the lower realms, then with such a motivation one just engages in the first four practices. But if one has developed a wish to be liberated, to definitely emerge from suffering and attain a state liberated from suffering, then one engages in those same six practices under such a motivation. But if one engages in those practices, but with a motivation doing so for the sake of others, so that all one's spiritual progression is for the sake of others, then one is engaging in the same practices, but done so for the sake of others. In other words, one is developing the mind of bodhicitta for the sake of others.
Masidinigi,
Again, as I mentioned in the conclusion last week, Sonam Gyatso is presenting this introduction to the Lamrim here for the specific purpose of pointing out the validity of the origin of this tradition, so as to serve to encourage us to want to hear these teachings, study them, put them in our minds, and cultivate them in meditation each and every day. Because he's encouraging us here to develop the strong wish to repeatedly engage in our spiritual development over a sustained period. And in this way, we will develop spiritually, and we will be, by practicing, just like all the bodhisattvas in the world and all those who have already attained enlightenment, we too are walking in their footsteps, practicing in the same way as they are, and we will achieve their same goals. So that's the purpose of this introductory part of the Lamrim teachings. And if we summarize the meaning of what we've heard here, or the meaning of how to practice rather, in your daily meditation, cultivate as a very minimum the strong and stable motivation that today I will not harm others. And in your meditation, you develop this mind of restraint, this mind that restraint that prevents one physically bringing any harm to others, or through one's way of communicating or speaking to others, bring any harm to others. So that's the mind of ethics. And then accompanying this, developing a mind that wants to help others. Developing the commitment that wherever I encounter the opportunity to be of benefit to others today, I will take that opportunity and I'll take it with joy, and I'll help others physically. I'll help others through my way of verbally communicating with them. And in this way, we develop a mental attitude of wanting to benefit others. So the briefest form of meditation that I hope you generate each day is developing this mind of restraint, this commitment not to harm others in any way, and developing this wish to benefit others, developing this commitment to help others in any way that one can. So we'll finish here then tonight and continue next week. If you have some questions...